score. Trying to get it tied. Kennedy scores! Applicator in. Shots. He hits a crossbar. Kennedy looking. Centered shot. And a score!
You're listening to Impact Sports Radio, and this is Behind the Mask.
And welcome to Impact Sports Behind the Mask, the only podcast dedicated to Michigan State and Big Ten hockey. I'm your host, Jason Ruff, alongside my co-host, Jacob Herbert. And I'll be honest, Jacob, first off, happy Thanksgiving. Hope yours was good.
It was lovely. The break was not long enough.
Not long enough,
but
of course.
It seems like just as I settled into getting home and, you know, being with my family and time to come back to school.
As soon as you get used to sleeping until 10 in the morning, then you have to get up for an 8 a.m.
Exactly. Well, I don't have any 8 a.m.s. I'm blessed in that regard, but
yeah.
I certainly understand what you mean.
Yeah, I bet you are. But anyway, getting back to what I was going to say, I'll be honest, Jacob, I've never been more happy to be wrong about a prediction for a weekend series ever, I think.
Yeah, and that's why predictions are always tough, because you and I can sit here and say, oh, well, the Spartans play like this, so this is going to happen, or North Dakota is, you know, the number five team in the country, so they're obviously going to win. And you know, if I've learned anything in sports, it's that, and we say it, I don't know how many times on this show, anything can happen, and something happened this past weekend.
Expect the unexpected. And for those of you who do not know, the unexpected surely happened last weekend. Michigan State went on the road and beat and tied the number five North Dakota Fighting Hawks in what was, Jacob, I think we can both agree, the biggest weekend for not only this team, but this program in recent years.
Can I be that person for a second?
Can I be that person? You can be that person.
We'll get into it, but technically, they did win game two.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we will get into this later, but you can say, well, officially it ended as a tie, Jacob.
I know.
Officially,
I'm just saying.
Technically and officially are two different words, but like you said, in every sense, but the official
regardless, a very impressive weekend, whether that second game's a win or a tie.
Exactly. In every sense, but the official sense, Michigan State swept number five, North Dakota, and all started on Friday. After trailing 1-0 in the first period off of a North Dakota power play goal, redshirt freshman Jared Rosberg brought the Spartans back with two goals of his own in the first period, including a power play tally to give Michigan State a 2-1 lead after the first period. In the second period, the Spartans came out flying, out shooting the Fighting Hawks by to the tune of 14-6. The Fighting Hawks continued to be hampered by penalties. They took 8 over the course of the entire game, and the Spartans made them pay. Senior Connor Wood extended the Spartan lead to 3-1 at the 7:34 mark of the second. Michigan State had several more prime scoring opportunities to extend their lead, but could not beat North Dakota Cam Johnson, at least in the second period, that is. Michigan State Captain Joe Cox connected on MSU's second power play goal of the evening to extend the lead to 4-1 just 2 minutes into the third. And this is when you start to think, could this be even a rout the other way? I mean, you and I kept thinking that North Dakota was going to come out with the strong game, but it was Michigan State who came out and quite literally punched North Dakota in the mouth.
Yeah, and it was definitely surprising, and I know maybe you were being the pessimist, I guess, that I am when it comes to Michigan State hockey, and you know, they get up 4-1, I believe it was, and immediately my mind flashed back to Michigan Tech last year and to Michigan Tech at the GLI, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, here we go. But, I mean, they were able to you know, fend off one of the great teams in the nation.
Well, you must have been jinxing the team, because it was shortly after that things got interesting. Sophomore Mason Appleton took a major penalty, a five-minute major penalty, for head contact and was also assessed a 10-minute misconduct. So North Dakota has a five-minute power play advantage. They negate it by taking a tripping call a few minutes later. But the Fighting Hawks were able to capitalize with two quick goals less than a minute apart to bring the crowd back into it and slim the lead to 4-3. Tom Anastas, I love his coaching here, calls a timeout, brings the team together, says, guys, you're good. You're still good. You have a 4-3 lead. They're not getting the next one. And Ed Minnie and Michigan State able to bear down and hang on to the final buzzer to secure the 4-3 final lead. It is the first time Michigan State has ever won in Grand Forks, get this, since 1979. Those are the Amo Bassoni years.
Those were the... I was not around during those years.
Neither was I. Neither was I.
I would not be born for another 14 years. So do the math. You can figure out my birthday. But anyways, we'll get into it later, I'm sure. But I'll just briefly bring up here that Jared Rosberg was named one of the first star in the Big Ten this week. And I think it just goes to show with his performance in the first period. I mean, Michigan State only managed 3 shots in the first period.
Only 3. That's the crazy thing.
2 of them were Jared Rosberg goals. You're getting outshot on the road 12-3 by North Dakota, the 5th-ranked team in the country. So good on the Spartans for, you know, being able to weather that storm. And I believe, I'm not exactly sure, that was something I brought up last week when we were doing our predictions is, you know, North Dakota's got a very good offense who can strike quickly and often, and Michigan State was able to kind of fend off that offensive attack of the Fighting Hawks. But I mean, it just goes to show how important Rosberg was in this game, being able to get those 2 goals when they were being heavily outshot.
Exactly. And we'll talk a little bit more on Jared Rosberg again, your Big Ten first star of the week, as we get set for conference play. It starts this Thursday, actually. But we'll get into that a little bit later. So Michigan State gets the big upset win. You know, we saw this a little bit last year with the Wisconsin Badgers. They got a big upset win in Grand Forks last year. But then you're thinking, okay, it's an anomaly game. North Dakota will come back, and they'll reestablish dominance, blah, blah, blah. The rightful order of things will be restored. Not so,
not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say.
To quote, took the words right out of my mouth. Michigan State got on the board first in the opening period of the Saturday game. Thomas Ebbing struck a shorthanded tally pass UND goaltender Cam Johnson. The Fighting Hawks, however, would respond again, though, with freshman Zach Yon tying the score less than a minute later. Then, at the 12:25 mark of the first period, junior Tucker Pullman notched his 4th goal of the season, this one on the power play, to make it 2-1 Fighting Hawks after 1. And it was after that first period, Michigan State's down 2-1, and now you wonder, will they be able to fight back, or will North Dakota just walk away with this thing? The answer would be the former, as Michigan State responded well with freshman Patrick Kotarenko evening the game up at 2 with his 2nd goal of the season at the 5:41 mark of the second period. So 2-2 tie game, and then there were no more goals. The teams went back and forth for the last 35 minutes of play. North Dakota launched over 22 shots towards Ed Mini in the final 40 minutes, but the junior netminder was up to the challenge, stopping all of them. MSU also had some chances to break the deadlock, but they could not solve Johnson to save their lives. And by the end of regulation, the score was not only tied 2-2, but MSU had been outshot 33-17. Kudos to Ed Mini, man. He was phenomenal. The whole weekend, he was phenomenal.
He faced what? Over 60 shots?
Over 60 shots, made over 60 saves.
Very good weekend for him. Definitely.
Exactly. So with no scoring in the first overtime period, the 5-on-5 overtime session, the game officially ended in a tie. The teams decided to play a 3-on-3 overtime, you know, just for fun. North Dakota is in the NCHC, and they do play with that format. And MSU won the 3-on-3 overtime, thanks again to Jared Rosberg, who was also, as we earlier said, ad nauseum, was selected Big Ten First Star of the Week. And I want to run this clip real quickly on Tom Anastas that he answered in this weekend's press conference as to why college hockey does not have a single consistent overtime format. Because there was a lot of confusion after this weekend as to whether or not Michigan State swept or not.
Well, here's the real answer to it, is the sport is very divided on the issue. And it's divided not so much by the coaching fraternity. The coaching fraternity in our sport, I would argue, is probably as influential as there is in any college sport. It has, its opinion has a great impact on the decision-making process of the rules committee. And that body overwhelmingly just is comfortable keeping the game the same.
So, Jacob, we know where you stand on this. You say technically Michigan State swept.
Technically. I mean, officially, no, I'm wrong, obviously, because the 3-on-3 overtime part officially did not count. But MSU did score three goals on Saturday, and UND only scored two. So, I mean...
Exactly.
If I'm doing the math right. I'm a journ major. I'm not a math major. I took journalism, so I wouldn't have to take math. But three is more than two.
Exactly. But, again, in the overtime period, you know, I tell you, I think it's really short-sighted that college coaches cannot agree on a single format in order to have wins or ties. And we asked Tom Anastas in the press conference. He's all in favor of eliminating ties, quite frankly. I think aside from college soccer in the regular season, I challenge you to find me another major collegiate sport that accepts a tie, aside from college soccer.
I couldn't do it for you.
I couldn't do it either. I mean, everyone, ties are starting to become a thing of the past. Even with hockey, ties have been a thing in the past for a long time. So I really think the ties are starting to become obsolete, especially in college hockey. And I do agree with Coach Anastas that there should be some overarching or consistent overtime session. So teams like Michigan State, who rightfully did deserve to walk away with two wins, actually do in the official standings.
Yeah, and I can't remember the specific week that we, it might have been even the first or second week, but we talked about some teams in the NCAA discussing the possibility of a 3-on-3 overtime. Now, that might not necessarily be the solution, but if you can come up with a way to reduce, like the NHL did, right? Come up with a way to kind of reduce the shootouts. A lot of teams in the NHL last year or 2 years ago were going to shootouts, whatever the case may be there. But in college hockey, there's got to be a way, whether it be 3-on-3, 4-on-4, going to a shootout after whatever the case may be. There's got to be a way to reduce the amount of ties in these games.
I entirely agree with you, and Coach Anastas echoed that sentiment exactly in his weekly press conference. And among other things, Coach Anastas saying it was pleasing to see that his team was able to go into an environment like North Dakota and handle not only the pressure of winning the first game, but also the obvious pushback from North Dakota the following day, saying that he felt the Spartans played better on Saturday than they did on Friday. But at the same time, Coach Anastas also reiterated that despite the obviously strong weekend, neither he nor his team should be satisfied.
If that's our level of satisfaction, that's not acceptable. That's not very good.
Coach Anastas saying further that he was extremely pleased with both his underclassmen and Ed Minnie, the goaltender, for their poise the past few games. Ed Minnie has started the last four games. Michigan State is 2-1-1 in that span. And here's just another stat I wanted to throw out to you, Jacob. Just wrap your head around this. After starting the season 0-4, Michigan State in their last seven games are 4-2-1.
It's pretty impressive.
Those are winning numbers.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
There.
And we have mentioned it a lot. And even, in the Denver series, they were swept. But regardless, they're playing a full 60 minutes and they're looking a lot better. Their compete level is higher. Like Coach Anastas always seems to mention, their poise level is a lot higher, and it's finally starting to pay off for these guys.
So much higher, and I've said this ad nauseum on this show, that the mental toughness, the makeup, the fortitude, the resiliency of this team is light years above what it was last year. And honestly, I think that's a couple reasons for that. I think the senior leadership this year is better. The seniors are stepping up and taking more of a responsibility, both in terms of point production and off on and off the ice. And I also think the fact that this team is so young is, in fact, an asset. They don't know what it's like to have all those terrible seasons like Michigan State had years ago. They don't know that. All they've known, they come from really experienced and successful programs back in junior hockey and even before then. All they know is winning. So obviously, when they get down, they don't think, oh, no, here we go again. They think, all right, let's get going. And I think that's you've seen that multiple times this season. And another thing I really like about this team, they're not scared of anyone. And the number one team in the nation could be walking into their building. They don't flinch. I said this at Denver, North Dakota this past weekend only proves the point.
Yeah, and you bring up some really good points there. I didn't even actually think about the second one with the guys being so young and not knowing what it's like to lose. But when you were, you know, bringing up those points, one thing I thought about was this team's success, I think, starts with, obviously, with Coach Anastas, but even more so, I would say, with Joe Cox and with the upperclassmen, guys who have played here for 3 years, going on their fourth year, and have had some tough seasons of just losing hockey. And you know, they've been at the lowest of lows, and now they're, you know, they're using that experience, they're using, you know, those feelings or whatever you want to call it, and just kind of fueling them, and you know, they're doing their best to make sure that their past 3 years doesn't happen again. And, you know, like you said, 4-2-1 in their past whatever
seven games.
I'm not good at math. things are turning around, it would seem.
Exactly. Now, Coach Nasta is saying that he has not decided to make Ed Mini the permanent starter moving forward. He's still in flux. Ed Mini may start this weekend's game against the U.S. National Team Development Program, or John Leatherman may start. He does not know what's going to happen. Still, though, Ed Mini started the past four games. As I said earlier, the Spartans are 2-1-1 in that span. Made 60-plus saves last weekend. Was arguably probably one of the, if not the biggest reason, Michigan State was able to walk away and walk out of Grand Forks with a win and a tie. Honestly, I think if he has not won the starting job already, I don't know what more he has to do, quite honestly.
You know, I can't help but chuckle whenever someone brings up the goaltending situation, because I remember the game against Princeton. I believe it was Princeton. I was there covering the game. Spartans won that game. Ed Mini looked great. Myself and the other reporters, we get into the press conference after the game, and one of the first questions, I'm not going to say who the reporter was, it wasn't me. One of the first questions was, so who's your goaltender tomorrow, or something like that. And Coach Anastas pauses for a second, he kind of looks down and he goes, the game ended 10 minutes ago. Like, give me some time to think. I just chuckle every single time that the goaltending competition or whatever it is you want to call it is brought up. But I will say this about Ed Mini and John Leatherman. I think Ed Mini has to be the starter going forward, because obviously the Spartans have had plenty of success with him in net. And they're already, you know, Big Ten play hasn't started yet, but they're in the basement of the Big Ten through non-conference play. And if you're having this much success with Ed Mini, why not continue to ride the hot hand and keep him between the pipes?
Exactly. 60 saves was all I needed to hear on North Dakota. And again, some of you may be saying, oh, North Dakota's not as good a team as they were last year.
They're still number five in the nation.
Five things. They're still defending national champions. They are still one of, if not the best young teams in the league today. They still play in what is quite honestly a palace in Ralph Engelstad Arena. They are still one of, if not the faces of college hockey west of the Mississippi. I know the Gophers of Minnesota would like to dispute that claim, but again. And finally, as my venerable colleague just said, they are still North Dakota. Getting back on track now, we talked afterwards after the press conference with Jared Rosberg, Big Ten First Star of the Week. I mean, here's a kid, Jacob, who missed all of last season due to corrective surgery on a previous injury he suffered in juniors. Came back this year, made the starting lineup, and is now producing in a major way. I'm not talking about just goals and assists. His presence on the blue line is invaluable to this Spartan team. And now he's being rewarded for it. He's Big Ten First Star of the Week. I mean, I think the last Big Ten First Star of the Week Michigan State had was Mike Ferentino back in 2015. So I asked him what his journey so far has meant to him personally. Here's what he had to say.
Means a lot. It shows me and my teammates at the work I did last year and the rehab I did last year, so it's finally paying off, which is good to see. But I'm just glad that I can contribute to the team and help us win some games.
Now, MSU is off this week, but they do play the U.S. National Team Development Program, U18s. But before we get into all that, let's go around the board, see how the rest of the Big Ten fared last weekend and what we have to look forward to this weekend, because that time of year again, it's the start of Big Ten Conference action. Oh, so excited, aren't you, Jacob?
Very excited, of course.
It's the Big Ten. It's the Big Ten, and they're looking good. We've got a lot. This week we have a plenty of top 20 teams going at it. We'll start us off. The recently elected number 7 Penn State Nittany Lions, they were off last week. They will start off this year's conference season with a series at home against the number 20 Michigan Wolverines. That's right, Michigan has dropped all the way down to number 20. And quite honestly, Penn State is looking for blood. I think if I'm the Nittany Lions and I'm Guy Gadowski, I smell blood in the water.
Yeah, especially what Michigan did to Penn State last year in the Big Ten tournament.
Precisely. Nittany Lions 11-1-1 overall. The number 10 Ohio State Buckeyes, they were also off last weekend. They will also start conference play with a Friday-Saturday series on the road against the number 11 Minnesota Golden Gophers. So a tough initial challenge for Ohio State. This will probably be the biggest test by fire Ohio State will face.
Yeah, now we're going to see if Ohio State's for real. I mean, obviously, they've had a very impressive offseason, non-conference schedule, but, you know, Minnesota's has been, and, you know, has been for a while, one of the best teams in Big Ten, one of the best teams in college hockey, so this is certainly a very big test for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Number 10 versus number 11, is Ohio State worthy of a top 10 position? We'll soon find out at the end of this weekend.
When's the last time you said that sentence? Number 10 Ohio State versus number 11 Minnesota.
I've never said that in football, period. But I've never said that phrase anywhere. Hockey, football, basketball, never.
Times are changing, huh?
Times are a changing indeed. Again, the Buckeyes 8-1-4 overall, one of only 2 1-loss teams in the Big Ten. The Minnesota Golden Gophers clock in at the 11th spot. They lost on the road to Northeastern by a final score of 6-4, but they won on the road against number 4 Boston College to earn their coach's 700th win.
It's decent.
It is decent.
You and I were just kind of chatting back and forth a little bit before the show here, but that result this past weekend for the Golden Gophers kind of seems a little flipped, doesn't it? They lose to Northeastern and beat Boston College. I know they are a good team, and Boston College is a good team as well, but you know, you think Northeastern should be a win for them.
It kind of does.
Last year we thought Northeastern was a win for Michigan State.
That's true. This is why
I don't like predictions.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're fun.
They're
definitely fun.
Again, Minnesota won 4-2 against number 4 Boston College. As we earlier stated, they will host the number 10 Ohio State Buckeyes to open up conference play. The Gophers, 6-4-2 overall. Clocking in at number 20 is the Michigan Wolverines, and I tell you what, compared to Michigan teams of the past, this one just looks pedestrian.
They're going the wrong way in the standings.
They are. They split at home against Lake Superior State, losing the first game by a score of 3-1 before winning by a score of 4-1 the following evening. As you said a little bit earlier, they will open up conference play with a Thursday-Friday series on the road against the number 7 Penn State Nittany Lions. Michigan Wolverines, one game above 500, 6-5-1 overall. Got to ask you, though, Jacob, who do you like between that Penn State and Michigan series?
Oh, I like Penn State, definitely. I think, Penn State, like you said, is out for blood. One for what Michigan did to them last year in the Big Ten tournament. And I think back to that game they played at Madison Square Garden.
They did.
Michigan just ran up the score, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't know if they ran up the score, but it was a lot to a little was the final score of that game. So
too many to not enough.
Too many to not enough. So I think, it's kind of like Penn State getting their revenge over Mark D'Antonio Spartans this past weekend.
Something like that. Again,
I think Guy Gadowski and his team, I think they're out for blood. I think they're gonna take care of the Wolverines.
Exactly. Top 10 Penn State at home. Start open up Big Ten play against, honestly, what they view probably as their primary rival in the Michigan Wolverines. I really like Penn State in that matchup.
Yeah, I do as well.
Moving on now to the Wisconsin Badgers, who received votes in the latest poll. They did as we expected, went on the road, beat Colorado College by a score of 2-1, but then lost to number 2 Denver by a final score of 6-5. A lot of goals scored, especially in that third period there.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin Badgers will host University of Nebraska Omaha for an out-of-conference series this weekend. The Badgers sitting at 7-5-0 overall. And finally, the Michigan State Spartans, who did not receive any votes in this week week's poll, which I personally think is a crime. But then again, that's why I'm not, they don't ask me to write up a
poll.
That's
why you don't get a vote.
That's why I don't get a vote, exactly. The Spartans probably had the best weekend of the entire Big Ten, going on the road to number 5, North Dakota, and coming away with a win and a tie. The Spartans are off this week, but will host the U.S. National Team Development Program for a Sunday game here at Munn Arena against the U18s. That game starts at 4 o'clock, correct?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. Nice afternoon game.
Exhibition,
there.
Right?
So exhibition game.
Is it free?
Stand by on that I do one. Not, I'm not 100%. I don't know
We don't
sure.
want to give out false information.
We're not going to give out false information, so...
So disregard that.
Disregard that, exactly. The Spartans currently 4-6-1 overall. MSU, as we said earlier, hosts the National Team Development Program. And for fans attending that game, they will want to keep an eye on defenseman Tommy Miller, who was signed for the Spartans for 2017. He will be a freshman next year. Here's what Tom Anastas said fans can expect from the future Spartan blue liner.
He's a very consistent two-way player, I guess I'm going to call it. He's not the kind of player that's just going to kind of jump out at you. You have to kind of watch him. But from a coach's perspective, you love him because you know what you get. He plays with a lot of intelligence on the ice. He's a very good puck mover. He defends really well. Very smart positionally. He's got good size. I think he's right now probably 6'2", and he's just kind of maturing physically.
And now to provide us with a little bit of insight on the U.S. National Team Development Program, we turn now to Jacob Herbert with Know Thy Enemy. Jacob, take it away.
Yep, we've got the U.S. National Team Development Program, U18. That's a mouthful to say. Coming into Munn Ice Arena on Sunday. I had to be careful to make sure that I got it out there right. But anyways, they are 11-12-2 on the season. Overall, they've struggled, to say the least, against NCAA hockey teams this year, losing to every team that they've played, with the exception of beating Minnesota Duluth 2-1 just about a month ago, back on October 22nd.
That being said, though, Minnesota Duluth at the time was the number one team in the nation. So just putting that out there, their one win is honestly the
best.
It's
a pretty darn good win.
It's the best collegiate win they can get. So.
For sure. Like you mentioned, they do have a Spartan commit on their roster in Tommy Miller, who will be coming to East Lansing next year in the fall of 2017. He currently has 2 goals and 7 assists in 25 games played for them. Offensively, they average about 3.52 goals per game in terms of team offense. I already said that. In terms of team offense. Defensively, they give up about 3.6 goals per game. Special teams power play is not the best. They convert on only 15.4% of their opportunities, while killing off 83.7% of their penalty kills. So, similar numbers, special teams wise to the Spartans. But that's what I've got for Know Thy Enemy this week.
Exactly, it should be an interesting exhibition game, and it's a little bit of a trap game, honestly, because if Michigan State does not come out, they're coming off the best weekend ever in a while. And depending on how they play this weekend, you know, that could diffuse some of that momentum going into Big Ten. Because after this weekend, they open up conference play against the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yeah, exactly. They do have Minnesota, one of the better teams in the Big Ten and in college hockey. So you're right, they kind of can't fall asleep this week. They've got to keep that momentum going after, you know, they had the big series and the win in the tie against North Dakota. So this weekend will be key for them to see, and key for me. I'll be looking for how or can they keep up that momentum going into the Minnesota series in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Jacob, so much for your preview of the U.S. National Team Development Program, and thank you so much for our listeners for tuning in. I'm Jason Ruff.
I'm Jacob Herbert.
Stay cool, Spartan Nation.